good to see all those who are out tonight. I think all of us at some point in our lives have probably been in a bad storm that we remember. I was over with the Seahawks this week, and Rick was talking about remembering the ice storm of 93, I think it was. And people in Alabama still talk about the blizzard during that time and all the snow that came with that. And all of us probably have some memory of being caught out in a storm. But it doesn't have to be rainy outside for us to be caught in a storm. The sun had been shining, the birds were chirping the day that a highway patrolman came and knocked on our door and told me that my brother had been killed in an automobile accident. I don't think there was a cloud in the sky when I heard that one of my best childhood friends had died of a drug overdose at college. And it had been pretty good weather when a doctor told us that our premature baby probably wasn't going to make it. We faced storms in our lives. And the thing about the storms we face in our lives, they so often come upon us with little to no notice. You can't turn on the 10 o'clock news the night before and get the forecast and see what storm of life you're going to be facing the next day. They often just come into our lives. We're thrown in the midst of it, figuring out what it is that we're going to do. But we know that we have someone who can help us in the storm, someone who can help us calm the storm. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Our story for BBS this evening comes from Mark chapter 4. So I invite you to take out your Bibles, turn over there. Mark chapter 4, and as we begin tonight, we're going to read verses 35 through 41. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leading the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this? And even the wind and the sea obey him." For the disciples, this was a weather storm. This was bad weather. But I think it was more than that for them. I think this also for them was one of the storms of life. They thought that on this occasion their lives were going to come to an end. That this was it. This was their last trip that they would ever make. So this evening I want us to think about the storms. First, I want us to step inside the boat with the disciples and think about how they responded to this storm and how it's very similar to how we often respond to the storms that we face. And then I want us, the best that we can, to try to step outside the boat and think, if we can, about God's perspective. What does he see as he looks out and he sees the storms that come our way, as he sees the clouds on the horizon of our lives? Well, let's go ahead and step into the boat with the disciples, headed into the storm, in the midst of this storm. We see in verse 37 that the waves are starting to crash into the boat, and these disciples are just as scared as they can be. Traveling by boat was a common mode of transportation, especially for many of the guys that are here on this boat. They're fishermen. They've been in lots of storms before, and yet it seems that there's something different about this storm. That this is a storm like no other storm that they have seen before. They're always out on the water, and yet there's something about this storm that just shakes them to the core. They're terrified. It shows us just how bad this storm was. And so their natural reaction in the midst of this storm is to be afraid. When we're going into the storms that we face, I think our first instinct is fear. causes fear. FDR once said that we have nothing to fear but fear itself. And that's a clever phrase and a nice turn of words. But I feel like often in my life I have a lot more to fear than just fear itself. And I imagine that many of us in this room feel that way. It sounds good, but I've been afraid of a lot more than just fear. And I think many of us have fears as we're headed in to the storm. Some of our fears may be over just little, silly, insignificant things. You can find a phobia for just about anything if you search for phobias online. They say there's even phobos-phobia, which is the fear of being afraid. There's a phobia for everything, and many of our fears are just over just little, silly things. But there are times when we have fears that are very real, that are very significant, big things in our lives. I wonder what's going through the disciples' minds as they're in this boat, they're in this storm. I wonder if any of them had children that they thought they'd never get to see again. I wonder if any of them had a spouse, had a wife, and they thought they would never get to say, "I love you" again. I wonder if any of them needed to say to somebody, "I'm sorry." They thought they'd never get that chance. I wonder if any of them needed to say to somebody, "I forgive you." And they thought that this was it for them. They would never make it back to the shore again. I don't know what's going through their minds, but I do know that they're scared. They're afraid. And as we're headed into the storms, I think our first reaction is to be afraid. The storm causes fear. Throughout Scripture, repeatedly, it tells us to not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Be not afraid. Don't fear. All those sorts of things. Almost 70 times in the Bible, we find that sort of a phrase. And what that tells me is that God understands that there's lots of things in our lives that shake us. Lots of things that cause us to be fearful. When we're headed into a storm, there's a storm on the horizon of our life. First of all, I think that we're afraid. And that's what I see here with these disciples as they ask this question. Do you not hear that we're perishing? That's a question of fear. Also, the storms have a way of challenging our faith. With that question, do you not fear that we are perishing? I think it's fearful, but maybe also to an extent, their faith here is being challenged. They've already seen Jesus do some amazing things. They've already seen him do some marvelous works. And I think that they know, even though they don't fully understand perhaps who Jesus is, they know that he can probably do something about this. That's why they ask the question. Do you not care that we're perishing? Apparently, they think he has something he can do here, and yet he's asleep on the pillow as the waves are coming into the boat. And perhaps their faith in this Jesus that they've been following is now being challenged as their master, their teacher, is now sleeping in the boat as their lives are about to end. And I imagine we feel that same way at times, wondering where God is, wondering why he won't come in and cause the stormy waters to be still. We often think about Job as being this character who just didn't let anything shake him at all. Job is upright. Job is righteous. Job is so strong. And while those things are true, Job also wanted to know what in the world is going on. And God, why have you brought this on me? Why am I going through this storm? If you turn over to Job chapter 16. Job chapter 16 and in verse 9. And here Job is speaking of God. He has torn me in his wrath and hated me. He has gnashed his teeth at me. My adversary sharpens his eyes against me. in that same chapter in verse 12, I was at ease, and he broke me apart. He seized me by the neck and dashed me to pieces. He set me up as his target. His archers surround me. He slashes open my kidneys and does not spare. He pours out my gall on the ground. He breaks me with breach upon breach. He runs upon me like a warrior. If you flip over to Job chapter 30, and verse 20, and here Job is, again, speaking to God. Job 30 and verse 20. I cry to you for help, and you do not answer me. I stand, and you only look at me. And then in chapter 31 and verse 35. Chapter 31 and verse 35. We'll just look at the first phrase. Oh, that I had one to hear me. Oh, that there's just somebody, who could listen to me, who could calm this storm, if there's just somebody who could help. And I think that the disciples here are having much that same feeling as their teacher, their master, this one who can do these miracles, is sleeping as they're going through the storm. Storms have a way of causing us fear, challenging our faith. I want us now to step outside of the boat for a moment and try, if we can, to think about the storm from God's perspective. As we're headed in to the storm, he looks out, he sees the storm in our life. What is it that he sees? First and foremost, I think he oftentimes sees something different than what we see. People have compared it before to embroidery or to something that is stitched. How we look at it from underneath, and all we see are the knots, the loose strings, the ugliness. We can't make out what it is. But if you turn it down and you look at it from the top, you can see the whole picture. You can see the beauty of it. In our life, as we look at our storms, so often we can just see one angle. We see the knots and the dangling loose strings and the ugliness and maybe only part of the picture. But God sees it from a different angle. He sees the whole thing. And he sees the beauty of it, if there is anything beautiful to be seen in it. He sees our plight as we go through the storm. Here the disciples don't think that Jesus is aware of their situation. I think that Jesus here asleep on the pillow perfectly illustrates his deity and yet also his humanity. Now, on one hand, he is a guy who is worn out, asleep in a boat. And on the other hand, he's all-knowing God, who knows exactly what it is that's going on. A while back in the news, there was a story about a couple. They were sleeping in bed at night. And the husband had quit breathing. His face was turning blue, so the wife calls 911. And she doesn't get anything. Well, eventually somebody picks up, and when they do, in the background, they can hear somebody snoring. And what had happened was the other dispatcher had fallen asleep. Asleep on the job. Here's somebody in dire straits in a difficult time. And this person is asleep. And the other one picks up, they can hear the snores. Well, maybe sometimes that's kind of how we think about God. Asleep on the job. Where are you? Why aren't you intervening? Why aren't you helping us? So I know that you can. I know that you have before. So where are you now? And yet the Psalms tell us that we serve a God that neither sleeps nor slumbers. You look at Psalm 121. Psalm 121 and beginning in verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And we can know that in the storms, God sees our plight. It's so often in the storms that God shows his power. I'm convinced that the disciples are in that boat at that location at that time because they need to know something about what this Jesus can do. I think Jesus knows that this storm is coming, and that's why the disciples are there. So that he can show them that he can, in fact, calm the storm. Show them his power. Also, if you turn over to John chapter 9, I may have mentioned this verse on Sunday morning, but I want us to think about it from a little different standpoint. John chapter 9. And verses 1 through 3. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." The way that I read this verse is that this man has been blind from birth. And has gone through all the things that blind people in that society would have gone through. So that on this day, in that location, at this hour, some people would know about what this Jesus could do. And I'm sure that growing up, he never had any idea that this was going to be the situation, that this was going to happen, that one day he would be healed and through what was happening to him, that many people would be able to see God's power. The second night that CJ was in the hospital, that's when he had all of his problems, all the difficulties he had, a hemorrhage. And they had tried everything to keep him alive, all the machines, ventilators and everything, just running as high as they could. They said even if he was to survive, he would have lots of damage from all the equipment running that high, respiratory and probably brain as well. And I talked at different times to the doctor during the night, and as things were continuing to progress, he said to me, "We've done all that we can do here. There's really nothing else that we can do. And it's just in God's hands. And there's really no place else that I'm going to be." Because it's often in the storms that God shows his power. That we're able to see what it is that he can do. But what if your storm isn't still? What if you don't have peace? What if you feel like your prayer isn't answered? I still feel like God in the storms is going to carry out his plan. I can't read my Bible and understand what I do about the Scriptures and come to the conclusion that God is very hands-off and that he has no plans at all for us. I think he carries out his plans, even if that involves us going through a storm at some time in our lives. And it can be very hard because we may never know why we've gone through the storm that we have. There's certain storms that I've faced in my life that I can look back on and kind of draw lines between the dots and say, you know, that's probably why this happened, because I was here and yet I needed to be over here, and so this took me from A to B. But then there's other things that have happened, and I don't know why. Maybe we never will know why. But yet I do believe that God has a plan for us. And it's hard because we may never know exactly how all the pieces fit together. And it's hard because so often it seems God does the opposite of what we think that he should do. If you're there in John, turn over a page to John chapter 11. John chapter 11 and in verse 5. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Jesus loves Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Lazarus is sick, therefore Jesus stays where he is and lets Lazarus die. Because he loves him. That doesn't sound very loving. That doesn't sound very friendly. That word, I don't know what word you have in your translation, but verse 6, the English Standard has so. And that's the idea of therefore, because. This is why. Jesus loves them, therefore he stays where he is, so Lazarus can die. That doesn't sound very loving. That doesn't sound very compassionate. But you read ahead in the story, and you see that what happens is Lazarus is raised from the grave. It would have been one thing to go and heal someone who's sick. It's something else to raise someone who's been dead for a few days. And I'm sure that as Lazarus is there on the bed, deathly ill, and Jesus isn't coming, that they're not very happy about that, and they don't understand that. But as you step back, you see the bigger picture. You see the plan that's being carried out here in the storm of this family. And God, in our lives, in our storms, I believe, carries out his plans. Well, let's step back into the boat for a moment. When we're headed into the storm, so often it causes us fear, it challenges our faith. But keeping in mind that God does see our plight, that he does show his power, that he does carry out his plans, instead of being fearful, instead of having our faith challenged, instead, why not champion our faith? I think the storms that we face in life give us some of the best opportunities for evangelism that exists. As everyone around us is nervous, anxious, scared, unsure, if in the midst of that you provide a calm, peaceful presence, a peace that passes all understanding, I do think people are going to wonder where that peace comes from and how you have it. And they may want to know more about where it comes from and how they too can have it. We all face storms, and Jesus is there to calm them. He carries out his plans in our lives. He gives us peace. I'll close with this. There was an art studio that decided they were going to have a contest of the different painters in the area to see who could draw the best picture depicting peace. They wanted paintings of peace. And so they got all of the submissions, and on the day that they were to be judged, they went through and they revealed them one by one. And as they went through and they pulled the covers off, they all looked pretty much the same. There were pictures of rolling green hills, there's pictures of babbling brooks, pictures of rainbows, pictures of flowers, of mountains, of beaches. They all kind of had the same look about them. And then they came to the last one. They pulled the cover off the last one. It was a violent-looking waterfall with jagged, sharp rocks and a little decrepit tree at the top. And there was a branch sticking out over those roaring waters. On the edge of that branch was a nest with baby birds and a mother hovering over those babies. And that painting won the contest for the picture that best showed peace. And the reason that that picture won is because peace is not the absence of danger. Peace is knowing that in the midst of danger, someone is watching out for you. Do you have that peace tonight? If you don't, then we would encourage you to give your life to Christ, the only one who truly can calm the storm. You can come forward, confess his name, be baptized, and live a life faithful to him. If we can help you in any way at all, won't you please? stand as we sing.